Well, hello. Today we have Emma Bridges on our episode for Artists at Work. And I am so thrilled to have her here today. And Artists at Work is a weekly broadcast at bbsradio.com. You can find us just going online and on their website. You do have to sign up, but it's free. And then we also repost it, and it'll be Apple Podcast kind of post. So we'll share that. You can go to Artists at Work, and it's the at sign on Facebook, and find our page there and join it and be able to watch this as well. Each broadcast is sponsored by The Artist Sanctuary, which is a nonprofit for the arts whose mission is to be a catalyst for artists to be successful. We're located in Red Wing, Minnesota. It's a nonprofit that I founded, and we're in the middle of renovation. We are soon to be open, and I'm very excited about that. Another sponsor is Blick Art Supplies. They've supplied us with some gift certificates, so we'll be giving some giveaways in the future and giving away those gift certificates. And also Box Roods, which is a consignment store in Red Wing, Minnesota. It's an amazing store, and boxroods.com, you can buy and ship all over the place. So welcome today, Emma Bridges. How would you describe yourself?
Oh, well, thank you so much. You're
so talented.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so delighted to be here and that you're having me on the podcast. So I am an actor, I'm a comedian, I am a screenwriter, I'm a podcast host, and a creative consultant at this time. And when I'm not doing all that, I'm a mental health therapist.
Oh, you know, in your spare time. Yeah. Well, what got you started down this road of all these different creative venues that you do?
Yeah, that's that's a great question. So when I was a kid, I think I always loved performing, and I loved to sing, and I was like, I think my parents kind of enrolled me in a lot of the like choirs and things like that, and I loved it. And I think in high school, the natural next step for me was to become a theater nerd. And so I just kind of fell in love with theater from a young age. And so my art is more of a performance art than it's visual art, but it's different. And so I kind of pursued theater, and I went to this like summer theater intense program when I was a teenager that really just made me feel like this is the thing that I love and I want to do it forever and ever.
Where was that at?
It was at Brown University in Providence. And it was a pretty hilarious experience because it's a bunch of like young people together, like creating art and like trying to be all artsy and, you know, deep. but it was like my first taste of like, oh, like I could pursue theater professionally. I think until that point, everyone had always told me that that was like a pipe dream and it wouldn't be possible. That was like the first environment that I was in where I met people who were working full time as actors and who were pursuing that dream. And that I felt like that kind of gave me permission to really go headfirst into it. And then so I ended up studying that in college, studying theater and acting. And then I ended up out here in Portland, Oregon, because I got my first acting job after college out here. I was like, I had this unpaid apprenticeship where they gave you housing and classes in exchange for if I did work for the theater, and I kind of learned like how a theater runs. And yeah,
that sounds amazing, especially when you're that age.
Oh yeah, I was like 21, and yeah, it was amazing. I was at a theater called Portland Playhouse here in Portland, and yeah, through that.
So you're still in Portland now.
Yeah, I am.
And you stayed there all that time.
I did. Yeah, I ended up staying. Well, Yeah, it would just kind of started to feel like home. And if you ever come to Portland, you'll probably understand why it's such a beautiful place.
I heard so much about Portland and how much variety and talent there is there, and it's just kind of the family members I've had that have visited there, they just said everybody is so friendly. It just I'm walking along and they're like, hey, and it's just not like a lot of other places. And I think there's probably a lot of people from other places that have moved to Portland,
Oh,
so
yeah.
maybe they're know that, be extra friendly because I was new here once and I didn't know anyone.
Yeah, it's so true. I feel like people here are super friendly, and the majority of people I meet did not grow up here. I don't know exactly why that is. I think it does attract a lot of artists, or it did at one point. I don't know as much, like, a lot has changed during the pandemic, and it's not exactly the same as it was a few years ago, but I think that's probably true for most cities.
That's true. I
Yeah.
think every place has pretty much changed at least some bit.
And so my path has been kind of circuitous. So after I did the apprenticeship, it was amazing, but it was very intense. And when you're kind of just working full time and you're learning and you're immersed in it, I was young, didn't have a car, didn't have any money. So I feel like that year I really got pretty anxious. So I started to go to therapy, which was very helpful. And like, so after that, I ended up actually getting some jobs in theaters out here. I was actually getting paid to do theater, and I was like, wow, I'm doing this thing. Everybody always told me, like, that's impossible. So that was so incredible. And at the same time, I was still just having so much anxiety, and I was really appreciating my experience going to therapy. And then I thought, I think I want to be able to do this. So I kind of pivoted to going to school to become a social worker and a counselor. So I did that. And then, I mean, that's an amazing experience, but it definitely left me feeling like I wasn't really fully myself, because my creativity is so important to me. I was not ready to just like give up on acting or theater or that piece of myself. So after grad school, I mean, a few things happened. So I got a job, and what I did not know about becoming a therapist is, at least in Oregon, I think it's this way across the US, is like, for your first job, you're really thrown in there. So like working like 60-hour weeks with really intense clients with really high needs, who were like wonderful people that, of course, it was a real honor to serve, but it was like by the end of the day or by the weekend, I was just like doing everything I could to fill my cup up again, and like forget theater or performance, right? Or art. Like, it just did not feel possible. And so this is kind of a silly story. So when you live in Portland, there's a lot of very spiritual people. And I had a friend invite me to something. It was a full moon circle. So we went to the park. I know. I was like, that sounds kind of hippie woo-woo, but sure, I'll go to that. And we went to the park, and it was a full moon, and everyone brought like a journal, and she asked us like journal prompts, and it was other women, and I loved it. It was amazing. And like, one of the questions was like, what would you do if like you could let your heart sing, right? And I was like, I really want to perform again. And it just got really clear on that. So I was like, okay, what can I do? So I started to do, even though this was horrifying to me at the time, improv classes. But
Why was it horrible? Were you scared?
I was scared out of my mind. I was scared out of my mind just to go to like a intro level improv class, because it feels like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna have to go up on stage and like make up a
They're
scene.
Gonna call on me.
They're gonna call on me. I'm gonna look dumb. I'm not gonna be funny. Blah blah blah. Yeah, after like getting over that initial hump, you just kind of, or I just really like embraced like, whatever, it's fine. And I learned too that there's like technique to it. So there's skills you can learn. You're not just like up there, like, I don't know what to say. Like there's stuff you can do. And so as soon as I realized that, I was like, oh, okay. And then I really started to love it. And I was on an improv team here, and it was so much fun. And then my friend and I started a comedy show here in Portland that that was once a month, and it was called Totally Normal. And I loved it because it was kind of a combination of my two interests. So Totally Normal, the mission of it was to destigmatize shameful topics. So every month we did a comedy show around a different topic. Like we did mental health. We did a show about puberty. We did a show about toxic masculinity, where we hosted a healthy masculinity pageant. And we got some wonderful men to participate. They were incredible. And yeah, it was so much fun. Yeah, and at that time too, I was kind of starting to try out stand-up comedy. So that's all. I mean, stand-up is also very terrifying.
Yeah. So admire you that you've done both the improv and the stand-up, because those are terrifying. You know, I don't know if I could ever, you know, scares me to death. So, you know,
it's people's number one fear, public speaking, like more than death, more than heights. Like, yeah, it's scary.
But yeah. You do it, and you obviously love it, right? It's not scary to you anymore.
It's always a little scary. You would be crazy if you weren't at least a little scared. But no, it's not horrifying.
You get butterflies in your stomach before a performance?
100%. Yeah, but you want to feel that, because I've done shows too where you've done it so many times, you don't feel the butterflies anymore. You're just like, yeah, another day of work. And I don't want it to ever feel like that. So
yeah, probably doesn't have as much life into the role, or.
Yeah, 100%. So now, and then boom, pandemic hit. So my live show stopped, which was okay, in that it sort of allowed me to pivot and really think about like what my next steps are. So that kind of brings me to my current project, which is I'm in the process of like pre-production. So like writing and getting together a web series. So kind of moving to, you know, we can't necessarily all be together in a room right now, but I think virtual content is a great place to be. And I've always wanted to like pursue film more. And so a web series is basically like a little mini TV show that you can put up online and you could share with your friends, family, millions, hopefully.
how long is each episode?
Yeah, so each episode, it's like a little mini episode. So it should be no more than 10 minutes per episode. So the show is about a mental health therapist who every week there is a problem. It's about a mental health therapist. Every week there's a problem that comes up with one of her clients that's also, she's also experiencing in her own personal life. So it's a therapist, it's a comedy about a therapist who hasn't exactly worked through all of her own stuff. So she kind of uses her clients to help solve her problems.
Now, they say to write about what you know. Is this, is this about you?
Yes. No. It's well, I think any therapist would tell you, like, I think the majority of therapists get into therapy because they had their own positive experience with therapy. So you have to have a certain attraction to working with people with mental health concerns. That said, yes, I have all of the problems that I write about in the show.
Well, and again, who doesn't, right?
Yes. Yeah, everybody does. In one way or another, we all have stuff
And if you
nobody's
don't
perfect.
yourself, then you've got a family member or a friend, or everybody's touched by different issues and across the board. And so I would see that your material would be unending. You could probably go on forever because as much as everybody is seems to be so dysfunctional anymore, it's just like the norm. And now that's our normal is dysfunction.
And I do appreciate too that like more and more people are talking about that, and I appreciate how that's becoming more part of the cultural
Well, I
diaspora.
think it's finally people are going, hey, I've been hiding this because I was so ashamed because this is in my life or this is in my family's life or my friend's life. And I think it's hush hush and taboo, or I'm embarrassed, I'm humiliated because everybody else is perfect and I have these flaws. Well, I think because we're more open and the internet's there, and people seem to just like to share anymore also that we're I think everybody's a little bit more open and realizing, hey, I'm not so different. We all have the same issues. If it's not exactly the same, they're very similar, so it's not unique, but we're in a big happy family as all families are a little bit different in different ways. But I've been a part, Emma and I met through a class we're both taking called Made to Do This by Kathy Heller. And the whole premise of it is to find out what makes your heart sing and how you can share that with others and help the world be better, help others be better. And in the meantime, helping yourself and then be doing what you love to do full time and then giving that to the world. And why shouldn't you? Because it's not fair to the world that you're not doing that, right? And so, Emma, I've just noticed you when we've been in this group. And believe me, this is almost 1,000 people taking this class. And so it's no small thing that a couple people connect. And I just remember seeing and hearing you. I love your voice for one thing. You've got the cutest voice. I just think it's adorable. And I love what you're doing. And I know some of the things that you've done. I was interested in myself and the screenplay writing. I think that's amazing. And so I found, and I'm sure you are too, finding this to be true that you're taking all these different bits from your past and it seems to fit together about what you're doing now. It may not have made sense that you did this improv class or you did that camp, but when you're at this point in your life and you're finding out what you want to do to give back to others, all those little things, they really mesh together and give you that experience to give to somebody else, to be able to call on you as a person who knows what they're doing and get inspired by you. Are you also doing some classes or anything like that that someone can subscribe to so they can learn to do what you're doing?
Yes.
Awesome. I had a feeling.
Thank you for saying all that. You're such a
Oh, you're more than welcome. I
lovely
just,
person, and I've been
that's why I'm
so
thinking.
drawn to you in the group as well. And if you haven't told your story on this, you should. You've got some pretty cool stories too. I
I haven't yet. I want to kind of
would
get you
interview
everybody
you
else.
for Artists at Work.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I do. So, as like a creative career consultant, Triple C. I help comedians, actors, and filmmakers and other people in the entertainment industry transform their approach to achieving their dreams through membership as well as individual consulting. So I'm really excited about the membership. It's called Spark to Screen. So it's a weekly hour and a half meeting where we get together with like other creative powerhouses, some really amazing people. And we begin with, you know, a topic of the day, goal setting. And really the purpose of this group is like, we're going to get you going. Like you're going to have like momentum. You're going to be inspired. Like that thing that you've been like, ooh, I have this idea, but haven't gotten around to it. It's like that will no longer be available to you. That space of like putting it off or procrastinating, because there's no time like the present to just like be going after what you dream of, in support with other people who believe the same. I really believe that there's room enough for all of us in this industry, even though it can feel extremely cutthroat when you're not in a supportive environment. It's also so hard, I think, for people to just be out there on their own. And sometimes, you know, maybe you want to write your screenplay or you want to try stand-up comedy. And it's like hard to even sometimes say that out loud, let alone like get support and have people rallying for you. So that's what I've been really loving about Spark to Screen. So yeah, Spark to Screen, it's like taking a spark of passion for like the film or entertainment industry and transforming it into like seeing it through to completion, which for many of the members looks like they want to see themselves on screen, like make some sort of product that they complete. So that's the membership right now.
Awesome. Well, if someone wants to join that membership, have you determined how much that's going to be, or do you have a website, or how can they be directed, or an email? How can they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So I am offering free consultations with people. So, you know, it's a 30-minute call where we can talk and connect and sort of see like, where are you at? Like, and I love to start with like, what are your dreamy, dreamy dream goals? Do you want to be on Saturday Night Live? Cool. Let's talk about that. Or maybe you just want to like get up the courage to like join an improv class. Like that's amazing too. You know, I can't promise like what your future will hold, but what we can do is like reverse engineer the steps for you to be moving in that direction. So we'll start to kind of create an action map for you during the consultation. And if you want more, then that's where we would talk about joining the group. So yeah, I do have a few more slots for that.
Well, do you have an email or a website or a phone number?
Yeah. So you would, the best place to reach me is on Instagram. So my Instagram is emma.abridged, and you can DM me if you want a time slot, or you could send me an email at emmacbridges@gmail.com.
Well, great. I hope you get a lot of response, because I think that's fantastic. You know, some people just have a dream and they need some direction, you know, and so having a coach, you know, and having someone take them by the hand, or put that spark underneath them and get that fire burning again and get them moving forward, is what a lot of people need to get from that. Honestly, I want to do this to actually doing it, you know?
It's so fun. It's so amazing. Yeah, I love in the group so far, like just seeing people light up and like, you know, hearing things like, I've been putting this off forever. I can't believe I just did it, you know, and it feels good. It doesn't feel like the horror of like putting a comedy video online when you've never done it before, but we're all in the group together. Like you could do it. Yeah. And then they do it.
Cheerleader section going.
It's so fun. Yeah. It's so fun. So
it's so nice for other artists to want to see other artists be successful. I mean, so many places in the world, everybody's a dog eat dog, and you know, they're competing with one another. But I agree with you. I don't think there's ever going to be too many artists or comedians or actors or screenplays, because people want more all the time. They want a variety. They want something new, and there's room for everybody. And might as well take someone by the hand and help them up, because you've already learned those hard, you know, lessons to get you where you are now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very excited for that.
Thanks. And there's also a podcast.
I'm getting over a cold. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no. So there's a podcast called Spark to Screen 2 that I am releasing this week. So this Friday, April 23rd, available where podcasts are available. So, and in that podcast, I interview people who have successfully created a thing like a YouTube channel or a film, and kind of mine the interviews for nuggets of gold that the rest of us can tastefully steal. Nice. So that we can learn how to reverse engineer what they did, so other people can learn from that.
Pick their brains.
Yeah. So I've been really excited about some of the interviews that I've gotten to do so far. I interviewed someone who has like multiple millions of subscribers on their YouTube channel. Wow. Where they immerse themselves in challenges. Her name's Michelle Carre, and she does like, I trained to be a rock climber. I trained to be a professional chess champion. Like a firefighter. Like, she gets to have all these amazing experiences. Like, that's a dream job right there. Like, it was so cool to interview
her. That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah. People who have written and directed their own films that are like on like Amazon Prime, and like their films are so good. It's just amazing. And, yeah, highlighting like women and people of color. Yeah. So that's just been a real pleasure. Plus I document my own kind of filmmaking journey, which is kind of funny because I still consider myself to be somewhat of a novice. So
there's a lot of novices out there that are going to be inspired by what you're doing. And then the end result will be you'll have your finished product and people will say, hey, she did it. Maybe I can too. I'll give her a call.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are your dreams?
Oh, thank you for
your dreamy dream dreams.
My dreamy dream. Such a good question. So I am so passionate about like continuing to combine like mental health and comedy. So my dream would be to have my own like Netflix television show where I get to like really play, and maybe it's about therapists. that for me is like the dream. I love like creating something from scratch and making people laugh, but also like having a poignant element to it. I've always found that like I want my comedy to be like purposeful and like social justice oriented, so that, you know, it can highlight people's voices and perspectives that have been traditionally not highlighted. Does that make sense?
That's awesome. There's a need for that.
Yeah. One of my favorite shows. Oh, your cough. Yeah. Yeah. Like some of my favorite shows are like Broad City. I really love like everything Phoebe Robinson does. It's like some of my favorite comedians. So that's the dream. Oh, Heidi, I see you're coughing. Let me know if you need to go get water or something.
I've got my water.
Okay, good.
But I might get a cough drop. Let's see.
So yeah, that someday I'd love to like start a drama therapy foundation, you know. Those are the dreamy dream dreams. Like, yeah.
Well, take us on a tour of your studio.
My studio. Okay. You're looking at it. So my studio is, I mean, I live and work from home. So wherever I am writing or creating, it's usually in this room. So I've got my guitars over here, but you'll see that I'm a mess. I'm not very organized. So I've got like piles of work papers. Like, I've got my bookshelves. You know what's, you can't see it right now because I'm blocking it, but during the day, it depends on what type of meeting I'm in. This is my sit up straight chair, and then I have my lounge chair, and I literally change throughout them during the day. So literally right behind me, I have another chair. And then like a little drum set over here, like my record player. So, I mean, for me, yeah. Oh, as an actor, it's like, you're just kind of like playing all around wherever, at this point. It used to be at the theater. The theater was like beloved to me. I was working at a kickstand comedy in Portland, and they're wonderful people over there. I would say, though, something I really cherish about my workspace is right above my desk, I have like an inspiration board, and that is something that I really love. So I can show you that if you're on my computer. I've got my ring light going, you know. So my papers that are like my inspirational mantras and things to kind of keep my mindset positive. So I've got some of my favorite quotes. Let's see. So I've got "Do it messy." I've got a picture of Meryl Streep, who's like my favorite actor of all time, and she's saying, "Emma, you've got it. Keep going." I have things like, I am surrounded by love and support. I know the universe is only abundant, and I'm stepping into that. I'm open to all possibilities. A little permission slip to myself. I am, I give myself permission to make the crappy version. The crappy version is good enough. A lot of this stuff is directly from Kathy Heller since starting this program, but well, there's no but to it. That's it. No one can stop me but me, so no one can stop me. So whenever
you could do a little improv for us. Put you on the spot.
A little improv, like solo improv.
Whatever you want to do.
You want to improvise with me?
Oh, I don't know about that. but okay, if
all
I
right.
have to.
I'm gonna need a suggestion from the audience. Tell me something embarrassing that happened to you this week.
Let's see. I was in the store, and because of my cold, my nose started running, and it's kind of like unannounced, but it's like a faucet just turned right on, and I didn't have a Kleenex, so I was in a panic, and so it was kind of embarrassing. I try to make do, you know, try to not have nobody notice, but I noticed, I knew what was going on, but I kind of hightailed it out of there, but I was embarrassed.
Was it under your mask?
Well, yes, that there is that. Yeah. So I was just kind of like, you know, with my mask, you know. But thankfully, you know, now we go to the store, you don't really have to kind of put on all your makeup, and you don't have to worry. It's like, you know, do I have something in my tooth, you know, from eating? Because no one's going to tell.
Okay.
I was the only one who knew, but I knew it was happening. And I'm like, panic.
Okay. All right. I'm going to take that and I'm going to improv something. I don't know what. Oh, I just sneezed in my mask and now it's all over me. Ew. Oh my gosh. Does anyone have another mask?
You could take mine.
Oh, ew, that's disgusting. No, I don't want to wear your mask. Oh, would you mind if I took my mask off?
Oh, that's all right. Let me see it for a second.
Here you go. Oh my gosh. Oh no.
All right, you can have it back now.
Oh, thank you. Now it's double sneezed in.
There we go.
My favorite. And scene. Okay, to be honest, I've never done improv by myself. And I've never done it over Zoom. So there you go.
I don't think I've ever done improv, so.
Great job, Heidi.
Oh, thanks. I kind of worked it into my coughing. So, you know, I talk all day on the phone for my day job, and I've been fine all day long, but I was just kind of nervous, you know, getting back after being sick for a week. I did get tested for COVID and it was negative, thankfully.
That's good.
It's still a cold and still lagging. And so I'm going to let you do the rest of the talking. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to share.
Oh, well, yeah, I think that's, sure. So I can just share. Well, first of all, thank you for having me, especially when you're not feeling well. I hope you feel better soon. Yeah, I think you can find me over on Instagram at emma.abridged. I also have a Facebook group. It's called Spark to Screen. And it's a community of people who are artists. And if you're having like problems or you're feeling stuck or if you have any wins that you want to celebrate, it's a great space filled with some pretty fabulous creators who are kind of in the entertainment, comedy, acting, film space. The podcast is coming out this Friday. So that's in 3 days. So keep your eyes out for that. It's also called Spark to Screen. And I think that's it.
Well, Emma, I'm so glad you joined us today and you're willing to do this interview. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do this again in about a year and see where we're at and see how things have changed since then. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that if I get to Portland, that we go to improv together.
Yes.
I want.
You have to.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that sounds really fun. Well, I'd love to have you come out here.
Oh, yeah. And thanks to the Artist Sanctuary and Box Roots and Blick for being our supporters. You can find us on Facebook. The Artist Sanctuary is on Facebook. And there's if you want to support this effort and our efforts there, and Artists at Work, you can feel free to donate from that page. And we just would appreciate every little bit of it. We're doing this kind of wild and blind. And so we just want to get out there I was going to say expose artists. Ooh. Maybe I should use a different word. But bring to light these talented artists around the world. And thank you for being with us today, Emma. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And we're going to say goodbye. And so we'll see you later. Thank you so much. And have a great evening.